All right, take your Bibles, please. Find your Bibles. Find the book of Mark, please. The book of Mark, chapter number 16. No height jokes. We're a level up on that one. Elevating since this morning.
Just read the Bible.
I'm sorry. Just read the Bible, he says. Mark 16, verse 15 and 16. Please read both of these verses with me, and I'll turn to one other place and read a few verses to you. Mark 16, 15 and 16. Ready? And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And I'm going to read quickly John 3, verses 14 through 18. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God.
Tonight, it's our privilege to have Evangelist Jamie Jackson with us. And if you were here this morning, he's got the goods, amen. I mentioned this morning. Of course, I've known Brother Jackson since he was in junior high. I was his youth pastor. He was tall then. He was taller than me then. Matter of fact, he was taller than me in first grade, probably, but it doesn't matter. The one thing I said this morning that I want to reiterate, Brother Jackson is a man of principle. He has made that book right there the issue. It's not personality. It's not position. It's not power. It's not popularity. It's principle. And that's what is important. By the way, I've spent 46 years preaching the same thing. And he and I agree in that area. He's fought battles. He's lost friends over it. But can I tell you something? If you had to lose somebody over living right, guess what? You didn't lose a friend. You just found out who your friends really were. And it's hard. It hurts. He's had to stand against people that he's loved and known a long time. And it doesn't change. Amen? It really doesn't. Last fall, actually it was November, I was driving back from trying to rescue a preacher. One that I don't want any of them to not make it, but especially that one. And I had been praying. We were getting ready to start our Happy Birthday Jesus offering. And I was literally driving back saying, God, I might not be able to fix this situation, but who could we help this year? Brother Jackson called me and said, hey, he said, if you would your church pray for us? We're getting ready to go to three countries in January. We need to raise some money. And God said, there's your phone call. Yes, sir. And I said, I'll do more than that. How much you need? He told me, and I said, I've been praying while I've been driving back. I said, you're the answer to my prayer. God allowed us to raise over $3,000 to help send them over there. Over 5,000 people saved. And what a great thing that is. That's how God answers prayer, folks. Amen. And but I'm excited about it. I've enjoyed watching him grow spiritually. I've enjoyed watching his family grow, of course, Mary and Sarah, and then them having the baby. And may I say something? He's paid a price to do what he does. They travel a lot. They're always on the road, and that's not easy, especially with a little one. And but yet they do it. Sarah has turned into an incredibly wonderful preacher's wife. She was a little apprehensive. I don't blame her. Being around him all the time, that's not make anybody apprehensive. But what a great couple this is. These are the kind of young people America needs. Young people, you don't need some goon that knows how to knock somebody's head off on a football field or kick a dead pig or throw a basketball or hit a ball. These are the kind of guys you ought to make a hero. These are the kind of people that you look up to. God's using. And that's what it's all about. And I'll shut up so he can talk. Brother Jackson, come preach to us. Amen.
I think the first thing that should be in order is thank you. Thank you guys for your thoughts, your prayers. Thank you guys for your investment in our family. We said before we began, we begin to pray, Lord God, please use us. Yes. And Lord God, you've laid upon us this field called the mission field. Lord God, we go anywhere, but we don't want it to be said that it was us trying to go on vacation or trying to do whatever, Lord God, wanted to be of you. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, we were there at Pastor Fugate's, and we were there just serving, and one of the missionaries got up and he preached and didn't really think too much of it. I knew him, knew of him. And boy, I was very interested in his message. I hadn't heard from him in quite some time. And boy, God was still using him and his ministry in a great and mighty way. And then just because I decided to fill a gap, at the time, everything was really busy and there was no one there to take him back to the hotel. And I just simply said, I'll go. I'll take you. No problem. And boy, as we got into the car, the Lord God knitted our hearts together. And I gave him a little bit of my testimony. And he said, I think you would surely would be a blessing if you came out to the Philippines. And he said, will you please pray? And I said, well, I don't think that prayer is in need because we've already been praying. And I was like, I definitely know that this is the time. I was like, in fact, let me call my wife right now. I was like, I'm pretty sure she will put a stamp on it really quick. And then, of course, as soon as I called, she was like, let's do it. As soon as I hung up from the call, immediately she texted me, you need to pull out your calendar right now and figure out what you need to figure out. And let's get this deal done. Of course, I said yes. Then all of a sudden, I said, hey, dear, do me a favor. Let's look up those flights. See how much those flights are. And then after she picked me up off the ground, I'm like, babe, I'm not trying to go first class. I was like, I'm just trying to get there. And she's like, that is just getting there. By the way, first class ticket, you want to know how much that costs? It's like $20,000 for one. I was like, they get there the same time we get there. Yeah. And I'm like, they can lay down up there, but the beds won't even fit me. Do I get a discount? How does this work? Needless to say, we're glad that we can say thank you. We can say thank you for allowing the Lord God to use you. Gentlemen, if you can do me a favor, I'll have you go ahead and set that up as I begin to talk a little bit more. He just wanted some time for everybody to look at him and to see his strong muscles real quick. Yeah. But as he is setting up there, obviously you heard baby girl in the back once or twice. She was saying amen. He was talking about doing battle. She was like, who's messing with my family? And he was like, no, baby girl, it's not that type of thing. But our whole family went out there to the Philippines. It was a six-hour drive. Or flight from here to San Francisco. And then we flew 16 hours from San Francisco to Manila. If you've ever been locked in a tin can for 16 hours, there's only so much you can do before you get numb up here and you get numb down. Well, you know what I mean. You mean, it literally was to the point where we were doing everything we possibly could. Well, they had some documentaries on there. We watched the documentaries. We played with baby girl. She slept. I slept. I was like, it has to be close to time for us to land. And then, of course, we looked and we still had 12 more hours to go. And I was like, oh, like, man, what are we going to do? But thanks the Lord, as soon as we got off the plane, the more we knew, we made the right decision. The more that God was definitely in it. As Pastor said, because of our family just being willing to go and willing to say, Lord God, please use me. We are no different than you, and you are no different than us. But because we went, like Pastor said, we saw over 5,024 people saved. That was the beginning, because at the end, I will tell you, because that was the fire starter to the conference that they had. Then I will tell you how many people in total was saved at the very end. Those of you who served in the military, thank you.
Yes, sir.
I understand you did some time, sir, overseas in Korea. Because of you and your buddies and your men, the Philippines welcome us with open arms.
Yes, sir.
Boy, they were super excited to have us. And the reason was this. General MacArthur said, well, before Arnold Schwarzenegger, I'll be back. And because of that statement right there, he told them he would be back and he would come and free them. They needed him. And boy, they literally have videos of him and all the American soldiers riding onto the shore, fighting, literally giving of one's life for their freedom. Because of you guys, the gospel has reached hundreds, if not thousands, of people over there. I can't tell you that we could all give you a gift that would be worth your sacrifice. But I can tell you and everybody else that has served here, thank you. Thank you so much. By the way, it's just not those who have served, even first responders. I even go as far as saying mom and dad.
That's right.
Thank you so much.
Yes, sure.
Family's under attack today. The most discouraging thing that we did when we were there started off from the beginning. I was talking to the pastor, and he was telling me everything that God was doing there and how involved his people were and how ready to pick up arms they were to do their duty. And he said this, he said, Brother Jackson, my people love America. Love America. He's like, we love your style. We love President Trump. He's like, we love everything about America. He said, so, if that being the case, I tell my people about America, but I tell them about America in the 80s and in the 90s, when the Baptist churches was the biggest thing around. No matter what state you went to, the Baptist church was the number one attended church. He said, Brother Jackson, is that still the case? I said, it doesn't matter. I said, what matters is that you're giving it all here. And more because of that, we started things off with a parade. The mayor of Manila found out about the King James Bible and the effect that it had on his people. So he had a parade to honor the Bible.
Amen.
And in this parade, they said, Brother Jackson, we want you to preach. We want you to preach hard. We want you to give it to them. And the first place they stopped was the Catholic Church.
Cut loose.
They start right up front. I was like, you guys trying to get me kicked up. Then we stopped at a Hindu temple. I was like, now you guys are trying to get me poisoned. Like what is the deal here? And well, we made several stops. The next day, our goal was to see 500 visitors in church. All day Saturday we went. Sunday, because of the church schedule, as soon as we arrived, it was church time, and then they did Sunday school afterwards. So we arrived and came into the church, and I was sitting where pastor was sitting, and the other pastor was sitting here, and all of a sudden, I said to him, I said, look, brother, look at all the people. Man, they seem excited. I was like, my, oh my, have your people shown up? And they're showing out. And he said, what? I said, look at all your people. Man, they're excited. He goes, these aren't my people. I was like, what? He's like, these aren't my people. I said, well, whose people are they? He said, these are all first-time visitors. Amen. You have to understand. Yes. Floor full. Balcony full. Glass window in the back of the church. He said, look, look. Look beyond the people in the back row. You see people standing up outside? Yes. He's like, they're not standing up. They're sitting down in the middle of the road. They block the road so they can come to church. Wow. And I said, well, where are your people? He said, there's a building behind the church. He's like, the first floor, filled with people. Second floor, filled with people. Third floor, filled with people. Wow. He's like, in fact, above us is another chapel filled with people just to hear the gospel. Me and my wife, several times during this trip, that we looked at each other and been like, what happened to America?
Yes, sir.
Why can't we have the same zeal that they have? Well, I remember several times thinking about home. It wasn't just about the zeal. Sometimes it was because of the food, to be honest with you. Believe it or not, there in the Philippines, well, I was happy. Well, things were good. Boy, I had pancit, I had lumpia. Have you ever had that? Heaven. And then they introduced me to chicken adobo and chicken and beef adobo. And they try to trick me. I don't know how many of you ever heard of balut. You may see a picture of balut here very shortly. It is not in the unraw form. It's in the raw form, but balut is this. They take a duck. The egg has been fertilized. They allow it to grow. And then they take it and they bury it. They bury it for 30 days, 60 days, or 90 days. And then they take it and they clean it off and they eat it. They showed me the balut and I said, absolutely not. They said, is it a texture thing? I said, what do you mean by is it a texture thing? Now, if it's a texture thing, the 90-day one may not be the one that you want, because if you eat that, you're going to feel all the feathers and the beak. And I was like, no. They're like, but if you eat the 30-day one, it'll be really soft. And I, exactly. And I was like, no. And they tried and they tried and they tried. Many different times I was like, what's that? They said, are you American? Chicken. I'm like, that is not chicken. It looked like this. It was this skinny or whatever. And it used to have looked like feet and something else in the bottom. And I was like, feet or arms? I don't know what it was, but I was like, that is not chicken. I know Kentucky Fried Chicken, and that is not chicken. Yeah, yeah. But I can definitely tell you this. Very, very, from the get-go, which I know isn't proper English. And by the way, Pastor, I haven't told you this, not dealing with the Philippines. This is a total timeout from that. Pastor, when he was teaching me in school, he said this. He said, when I'm done with you with teaching you English, He's like, you're not going to be one of these kids that go to college and have what they call bonehead English. That means that you couldn't pass the normal things in order to get into English that is a college level. He said, if you don't pass, he said, I'm going to put my foot and, well, you know, and but what I didn't tell him is, Pastor, because of you and your teaching, I definitely didn't take bonehead, and I passed out of 101. And I was one question away from passing out a 102. Now, don't get me wrong, I took 102 three times. but I was determined not to study, and the teacher was determined that I was going to study. Needless to say, she won. Yes. But going back to the Philippines, when we got there, we began to drive. Ladies and gentlemen, I will never, ever complain about America's interstates, America's system that we use, at least for a little bit. When I went there, I was reminded, they said, ah, Brother Jackson, America, you drive by the law. Here in the Philippines, we drive by grace. They weren't lying. If you wanted to stop, stop. If you don't, blow right through the stop sign into major traffic. There were multiple times where I'm not a screamer. I'm not, stop. I'm not one of those people. I'm a noisemaker. And multiple times I was, I'm telling you, if you were outside of our car, you thought they were playing loud music, because every now and then you would hear, boom. And that was my foot. Where's the brakes? Where's the brakes? Oh, where's the brakes? When I'm telling you, two-lane highway, going this way, going this way, and when you have six lanes that are now people just doing their own things, and I tell them this, I said, do you guys ever have accidents? He said, never. I said, really? He said, no. He said, but you must be careful. He said, we never allow Americans to drive, because if you drive over here and you get in an accident, it's automatically your fault. I said, why is that? He said, because you're Americans and you don't know how to drive here. And I said, okay. But needless to say, despite them making our prayer life much more sensitive, whether it's because of the food, which, by the way, if you go overseas and they tell you not to drink the water, they mean don't drink the water.
How do you know?
3 times I can tell you that I know. And some of it wasn't what you're thinking. Some of it was simply they laid fruit in front of me. And I'm like, fruit? Oh, my. Oranges. I recognize that. Apples. Yep, recognize that too. Grapes. Boy, I begin to eat it. My wife said, ooh, what are you doing? I said, I'm eating. She said, yeah, but you can't eat that. I said, why not? She said, you have to cut it or peel it yourself. I said, I don't see anything wrong with it. So you don't know where that knife has been used. You don't know if that knife was used to cut meat and then all of a sudden used to prepare the fruit, or that knife was washed in the water and wasn't dried. And then all of a sudden it was used. I said, well, no, not, like, let's not be silly. And that night I was like, ah! You'd have thought I was a Muslim. I believe that's all I need to say about that. Sorry, Pastor. Yeah. While we were there, and then a wonderful thing. In fact, they said this is the main thing. He said the reason why we see God moving in the ministry they had there, he said, because we keep the main thing the main thing. And boy, they stressed soul winning. Boy, it wasn't something that they stressed. It was something that they lived. Well, every single time we were out there, and I remember one time we were out there on the what we would call the bus route, and we were out there visiting, and all of a sudden when we were out there visiting, we came, as soon as we got out, immediately some young ladies attached themselves. I'm talking about some young ladies. You'll see them in the video here. They attached themselves to us. Everywhere we went, they went. It wasn't like America. You know, America, you walk a little bit, but obviously you come in that boundary line and your parents have already set, and you don't want death to occur, so you go back home because you've reached, maybe it's the end of the yard or whatever it was for you and your parents. All of a sudden, we're walking around. The pastor even tried to give them hints. He said, hey, isn't your parents going to miss you? They said, our parents don't care. It was like, okay, all right, so we're going around. We're in the stores. We're in and out of everywhere. And then finally, we go to visit one of the church members. And we're sitting down there. They haven't been in a while. We're sitting down in their house. I looked at my wife. I said, hey, I haven't seen the girls. And she hit me and she pointed over there. And they had slipped into the individual's house. And they were sitting down on this couch like, tell me more. These little girls. And needless to say, tell you that to tell you this. All of a sudden, Sunday came. And we're there at another church. And I'm getting ready to preach. And my wife had an opportunity to go and see some of the nurseries and see some of the other ministries that this church has. And she said, as soon as she walked into the junior church, immediately these girls shot up. And they were like, ah, we were their friend. Say all that once again to say this. You never know who you impact.
That's right.
You may think it's just a random meeting. Ah, please just go away, or you put up with them just to be nice. But you literally could make their world.
That's right.
I remember being in another mission trip. And two young ladies said this. They were twins. They said, Brother Jackson, can you promise us this? I said, sure. I said, can you promise not to never forget us? And I promised them I would never, ever forget them. Not only forgetting, never forgetting them, I'll never forget the people there in Singapore. Literally, the pastor himself, just to come to church, would travel 2 to 2.5 hours by public transportation because he was Filipino. And they would not give him a citizenship because they gave him a citizenship, they gave him power. And what I mean by that is this. He was there and he said this. When we first got out, I said, hey, how does visitation work? How does soul winning work here? He said, oh, we have to be very careful. He said, not because we're ashamed. He's like, but if you witness to a Muslim or a Hindu person and they get mad, they tell the local authorities and they kick you out of the country. No questions asked. I said, whew. I was like, brother, that really amps up things because I didn't come to hurt his ministry. We came to help his ministry. And boy, it's amazing how God protected them and they were able to witness to people by asking them certain questions and the people were responding. They just told us this. If you ask them a question and they respond, Indy, leave them alone. Don't talk to them anymore. Just let them go. Praise be to the Lord. Everybody that we talked to, no one said that. In fact, here's the crazy part. Pastor, when we would go and we would give them the gospel, there was no resistance, no questioning, no, I don't understand, no nothing. It literally was to the point where I said, do you understand what I'm saying? I said, absolutely. I said, so what should we do? I said, well, I want to pray. I want to ask God to come into my heart and save me. it's amazing how even in America, the people who want to listen, well, I don't know about that, or have questions. But literally, it was just as plain as us talking to a child who had just learned how eager they were to get close to God. Not only in Singapore did we find some people that were willing to serve God, but in Taiwan, we found some people that worked 12 to 14 hour shifts. They affected all of our lives. You say, how did they affect our lives? Remember in 2020 when you couldn't get the chips for your cars or for anything? It seemed like the whole world stopped. Well, those were the people who couldn't work that actually worked on the chips and everything. So we had a few long conversations about those chips. And one of the things that I asked them was this: how many hours do you guys work? They said, 12, 14 hour shifts. And sometimes 16 if they really need us. I said, oh, wow. Do they work you like two or three times a week? They said, no, 6 days a week. I said, 6 days a week? How do you get anything done? They said, Brother Jackson, we always find time for soul winning. Wow. I said, I wasn't talking about soul winning. I was talking about sleeping. The necessities of life. But yet the main thing that was on their mind was talking to someone else about the Lord.
Amen.
Literally, I remember whether it was Singapore or Taiwan. By the way, this wasn't a church activity. But after church, they worked a 12-hour shift. They would take transportation, come to church. And some of them, they would even sleep at the church the night before just so they could be there at church ready to go when people walked in the door. And all of a sudden, they worked a 12-hour shift. They come to church. They're there at Sunday school. They're there Sunday morning. Then all of a sudden, Lord, they all eat together. And without anybody announcing, we're about to go soul winning. This is the next step in what we do. Everybody leaves. And literally, they're all going soul winning. They said it's a lifestyle to them. And then all of a sudden, Sunday night, we came back and I said, man, did you guys get any sleep? I said, no, we were out soul winning. And I said, when do you sleep? He said, Brother Jackson, it is an honor for us to serve God. We can sleep later. And I'm like, oh. I like sleep. But it's amazing how their priorities were set.
That's right.
And because of that, well, we saw many of different people literally give up their comforts just to be a part. We were there in Taiwan, and it was late. They worked a 12-hour shift, so they would have church in the morning, 7, 8 in the morning, and then they would have church at night, 8 or 9 at night. They would start. So the people that worked the 12-hour shift could come to church. They had people that drove 2, 2.5 hours to come to church after they had worked a 12-hour shift, just so they could be there. They left at 1 a.m. Once again, I said the same thing. I'm so sorry that we kept you. They said, the pleasure is all ours. There's nothing like praising God and serving Him. Ladies and gentlemen, when I tell you that God was definitely in this thing and God was definitely still working, He was still working. Now, I have a slideshow, and then I'll give you just a little challenge after that. I say challenge, I'll preach to you, but just for a few minutes. Well, we do have other things that we could tell. Like, they oftentimes would go up to my wife, and they would say, you are so pretty. And they would say, your wife is so pretty. And I was like, I know. And they're like, she looks like movie star. And I was like, work it. We were there in Singapore, and they said this. There was a young man and his dad. And you know how you can tell when someone's staring at you? You can, like, feel them staring at you. And I could feel someone, and I'm like, man, what in the world is going on? And I looked, And when I looked at them, they were like, oh. But the little kid didn't get the memo and he was still locked in on me. And then he started hitting the dad. And the dad comes up to me. He's like, excuse me, sir. He's like, I don't mean to bother you, but can I ask you a question? I said, sure. He said, are you Shaquille O'Neal? And I was like, no, I'm sorry. I'm not Shaquille O'Neal. You ever told somebody the truth and they still didn't accept it as the truth? I was like, no, I'm sorry, buddy. I'm not. He goes, yeah, right. And I was like, well, I guess you can call me Shaq, baby. I was like, one other reason why I did that tonight, it's good for us to laugh. By the way, that's a healthy family. Family gets together, you laugh.
Yes, sir.
You crack on each other. My wife said this with the video that was in the office. She said, this morning, were there people finishing what you were saying? And I said, what? She said, literally, it's like you would say something and then someone else would finish your thought. And I was like, oh, I think that was them interacting with me if I paused or said something. And ladies and gentlemen, my message to you is keep it up.
Amen.
Sign of a healthy church. Also, the sign of a healthy church is a church that does what we read. In Mark chapter 16 and verse 15, where it says, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world, preaching the gospel to every creature. Why would he say that? Because John 3:16 was now real, and that leads us to, for God so loved the world. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, I'm sorry, but I thought I knew how big the world was. And a trip like this, going to the other side of the world, traveling several hundred miles an hour, and it's still taking us 20-something hours to get there. But then when I got there, I realized that Jesus loves those people the same way that he loves us. And my, oh my, how big that even made God even appear to me. So when he really said, for God so loved the world, well, that world expanded in my mind. And can I tell you, these are people who walked with him, who talked with him, who we would all say they all have faults. But there's one thing that they all did, is they all went. It all goes back to Sunday school. This is why Sunday school is so important to the church. Pastor made a statement about obeying. The Christian life is obeying. If us as Christians would obey what the Bible says, we wouldn't have half the problems in the church today. If us the Christians would obey, not only would we not have financial problems as far as the church is concerned, because most of everybody does what they're supposed to by tithes and offerings. Most of the time we get stuck on the tithes part, but it's tithes and offerings. And then, obviously, you guys do a wonderful job with that. That's why we were able to be blessed by you. But tonight, the question I have for you is this. If the Lord God impressed upon you, would you go?
That's good.
We went not knowing what the price would be, not even knowing if we would see results. We went because he laid it upon our heart to go. Are you obedient enough tonight that if he laid it upon your heart to go, would you? We're no different than you. And by the way, those guys who walked with him and talked with him, they all had to make the decision to leave their stuff behind and to go follow him. And because of that, we see Peter went to Jerusalem Antioch and Rome. Andrew went to Russia, Ukraine, Greece, and Turkey. James went to Judah, Samaria, Spain. John went to Turkey and the islands of Damascus. Philip went to Turkey and North Africa. Boy, Matthew went to Ethiopia and some of the other areas there. But all of them did one thing. They all went. Ladies and gentlemen, I know tonight you think this is a mission sermon. You think this is a sermon about missions. Oh, for God so loved the world. But ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you, the world is also your neighbors. The world is also your friends. The world is also these people that are in the community that are looking for a light. And we have a light. Oh, we have a light, not just because we're here in the church and the church is a lighthouse. But ladies and gentlemen, we have a light that is inside of us. A light that burns. A light that shines. Hey, the light that's not the S-U-N because it's the S-O-N.
Yes.
Oh, ladies and gentlemen, can I tell you tonight, if he speaks to you, would you be willing to go? Would you be willing to go speak to a neighbor? Would you be willing to go to talk to a friend? Let me ask you another question. Is everybody in your family saved?
It's good.
If not, have they heard from you?
Yes, it's good.
Don't tell me you love your friends and you love your family, but you don't love them enough to make a decision to go.
Amen.
Oh, can I tell you? Not because of me tooting my own horn, but later on, literally, I can show you because my wife called me last night, said, "Where are you?" And I was downstairs, and there was a young lady. I said, "Pardon me if you don't mind." I was like, "Where are you from?" She said, "Where do you think I'm from?" I said, I'm not doing that. I was like, "Well, where are you from? What's your nationality?" She said, "I'm from the Philippines." I said, "Really? Where at from the Philippines?" She said, "Manila, close to the area that we were in." And boy, I got out the phone and I said, "This is why." She said, "Oh, the Philippines." And because of that, boy, I gave her a track.
Yes.
And when I gave her a track, it wasn't even in our language. It was in their dialect. And she immediately began to read it. And she looked up at me and I was like, "Yep." "Yep." I was like, "Whatever you just said, yep." And she laughed. She said, "Thank you so much. Thank you so much for caring." She said, "This is the first time." She's like, "You worked here at the hotel. First time anybody's given me a track like this." She's like, "I haven't been working there for very long. No one's given me a track like this." And I said, "Well, maybe your last."
Yeah.
And she looked at me. I was like, "Hey, there's a church right over there that would love you the same way that these people would love you if you were back in the Philippines." Ladies and gentlemen, I wonder how different our community would be if we would just go.
That's right.
Oh, tonight, we are grateful. Tonight, we don't even know how much God has done with the money that we've given to missions, that we've given to other things. Ladies and gentlemen, I told you about the 5,000, but what I didn't tell Pastor and everything is that was the fire start for their whole campaign, and because of that, boy, it was the start. Boy, the people saw what God was doing, and they wanted more. And because of that, the pastor called me and said they had over 37,000 people come to know the Lord God as their Savior. And you guys have an investment. Why? Because you couldn't go, but you did exactly what God laid upon your heart. I wonder if you listen to that same Holy Spirit and you say, "Lord God, what else could I do? Who else could I help? Lord God, on my way to work, oh Lord God, point out who needs you today. Lord God, whether they get saved or not." By the way, we get caught up in this thing and reaping way too much. Some of us, we just got to sow. We just got to sow. We just got to sow and let God do the reaping. Well, it's time for us to be willing to go. Oh, most of you will be willing to go to a ball game. You'll be willing to go, boy, to a family's house. Let's be willing to do what God wants us to do. Well, I worry about those people who, when I ask you, would you be willing to go? Well, you brought up everything that would be your concerns. Instead of just saying, "Lord God, if you lay that upon my heart, Lord God, our goal."
Right.
I know some of you say, "Well, Brother Jackson, when you brought that up, I just said to myself, I'm way too old to start all over now. mind you, of a pastor named Preston Moore. Pastor Moore is on the front row of a conference, 93 years old, and he heard that we need a preacher in this church, and we need a preacher in this church. And oh, pray that somebody, boy, picks up the mantle and somebody becomes, and he said, he finally stood up and he said, hey, nobody else here will take a church. I'll take a church. He's like, tell me which one you think that the Lord would use me at the most. And he said, I'll go. I'll fill the pulpit until we can raise up a young man to take my spot. For the next 4 years, God used him. Boy, to call multiple preacher boys, boy, in that church, to stand behind him and beside him. And now the Lord God has taken Pastor Moore to heaven. And because of him, he has 11 more preacher boys. More that are willing to pick up the same mantle that he picked up. Why? Because he was willing to go. 93 years old. He had all the excuses in the world to be like, I'm done. And we would all agree. But it was still a burning and a yearning in his heart for God to do something. Oh, tonight, do you want God to use you? Do you want God to use your church? Do you want God to still bless and use you despite of you? I love that God used the 11 disciples. Because if God's willing to use them despite of them, he's willing to use us too. Don't get all holy on me. You know as well as I do, when you look in the mirror, you don't see all the perfections. You see all the imperfections. Man, I wish I had this, and I wish I didn't have this. And my zits are killing me this morning. And oh, look at my nose. If I only had her nose. Meanwhile, she's like, if I only had her nose. And they go back and forth. No one seems to be completely finished. You have the Lord God saying, if you just trust me, just like this morning, if you obey and you will humble yourself, you'll be amazed at what God can do with us. Amen. Most of you, you heard about the 5,000, but you didn't know about the 37,000. Just because you said, Pastor, what do we need to do? Well, Pastor, we want to be a blessing. We want God to keep using our church. Pastor, we can do this. And because of individuals like you, God took that investment and he made great and mighty things with it. I wonder tonight, we find that David, even with his problems, said this in Psalm chapter 26. He said, Lord God, examine me. Lord God, if there be anything in me, it shouldn't be there. Lord God, will you show it to me? I wait and get rid of it. Why? Lord God, I still want to be used by you. Yeah. Lord God, I still want to go. Still want to keep going. He was telling me about some of his ailments and everything. He's like, well, I broke this and I broke that and I broke this and I broke that. And I was like, yep, you're still on the firing line. He was like, ah. Should be an example to all of us. Keep going. Get stuff, keep going. I don't know about you, it's that go that should be our main thing.
Yes.
I want to go do something for God. Yes. I want to go and let God use me and use my family despite of me. Oh, tonight, my time is up. I want to say thank you. I also want to challenge you to keep moving forward for God. Keep doing something for him. Seems like God has given this church a great opportunity. But someone still has to go.
That's right.
Someone still has to walk across that wooden deck that they're giving us. Someone still has to knock on the door and tell that grandma who's been praying for her granddaughter that there's hope.
Yes.
Someone's got to tell that drug addicted person that they had, they can have victory.
Yes.
Someone's got to tell the community that there is a light that is within you that could be within them. I love when I went to the Philippines that I saw that light shining even far over there. But it also reminded me that our light could be a little bit better here. And the way our light could be better here, if we let it shine more. Oh, tonight, with a little example, I'm going to show you how our light could shine more. Pastor, could you hand me the broom? Most of you just see this broom. By the way, I see the broom too, red and black. We find a lady who was told back in the Civil War times, they said the battle was coming pretty close to her house. They said she was a lady that was a meek lady. They said oftentimes they would see her on her porch rocking in the afternoon. And they said that she said that they could see, she could see the battle. At first she could hear the cannons and hear the screaming. They said a few days later she would come out on her porch and literally she could see the soldiers out there fighting. And then they said all of a sudden, boy, the soldiers kept getting closer and closer to the point where she could see that they were getting hurt. And boy, they needed help. And she could stitch, and she did know some first responder things, as we would say. So she went, and they said, boy, they woke up one day, and there were soldiers all over her deck. And she was helped mending them, keeping them alive, doing various different things. They said then the enemy of the war showed up the other side. And when they showed up, boy, they had certain people that were in the chain of command, and they demanded to know why these soldiers were getting help. They said she was inside the house. And when she was inside the house, they said immediately she came out of the house, she kicked open the the door that was there, the old screen door. And they said the first guy that she saw was one of the guys that was in command. She took the broom, and she, boom, hit him upside the head, knocked him down. Then there was another guy. She, boom, hit him upside the head, knocked him down. And finally one of the guys grabbed the broom and said this, ma'am, do you know who we are? Do you know that we could just kill you? She said, yes, I do. She said, but you also know whose side I'm on. And they killed me. I think the difference between us and the Philippines is they're not willing not only to go, but they're willing to let everybody know whose side that they're on. Mm-hmm. Whose side are you on? Are you one of those closet Christians? Oh, when I go to church, amen, praise the Lord, hallelujah. But then when you leave this place, oh, well, you don't let your light shine. You're not willing to go. Oh, it's easy to go and let your light shine when everybody else is around. I'm talking about when no one else is around, but the Lord God pricks upon your heart to talk to that biker who looks like he's going to eat your lunch. But yet you still go over there and you witness to him.
Yes, amen.
You be the best thing that he has ever had. We just left the house of a lady who did that before. And because of her, we saw her over there and we were like, long story short, oh, no. We saw him pick her up. We were like, this is it. He's going to break her in half. And we saw her shaking, so some of the men went and ran over there. And he had big tears coming out of his eyes. He said, I hadn't heard that story since my grandmother died. And he's like, I promised her that I would come back to God. I didn't know how. And today, thank you for making my grandma's dreams come true. And he came back to God.
Amen.
Because she was willing to go. Oh, tonight, are you willing to go? Oh, tonight, can I tell you? If you're not willing to go to an altar, how can you be willing to go to someone's house? If you're not willing, now, by the way, I mean, when I talk about going to an altar, you can make an altar out of your seat. But we all know that, man, I would want to get as close as I can to where and not only everybody else, but God knows why I'm in business. Well, if it's in my seat, Lord God, here am I.
Yeah.
Use me. It was all at the altar. Lord God, hear my.
Yes.
Lord God, will you please just use me? Tonight, are you willing to go? Are you willing to go speak to a neighbor? Speak to somebody that's on drugs? Speak to somebody that even has more money than you? seem like they're better off. Are you willing just to obey God?
That's right.
And humble yourself and be used in a mighty way. The time is up. Pastor is coming towards the podium. You need to move. Let's go. Let's do something. Oh Lord, head bowed, eyes closed, Pastor.
It's very simple. Are we going to live this life just for ourselves, or are we willing to tell others about the Savior? It's that simple. This life is short. Eternity's long. What's holding you back? What's holding you back? Fear? Oh, don't worry about it. God will take care of it. What's holding you back? Sin? Well, let's get it right and let's quit it and let's go forward. Are you willing to go? There's a whole world out there. Brother Jackson knows this is true. You travel 24, 26 hours and come back. You hop off the airplane, there are just as many lost people here as there are around the other side of the world. Where you live is the mission field.